Hello, I'm Mark DeLuzio. Over the past century, our constitutional republic, grounded in the rule of law, has been transformed into a tyrannical democracy, orchestrated by unelected bureaucrats and globalists. The Constitution is now treated as a suggestion, not the law of the land. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God.
Hi, I'm Mark's co-host, Suzette Lawrence. Our intention is to explore the Constitution and discuss how our freedoms and constitutional rights are violated by those very politicians who took an oath on the Bible to uphold it. Learn how the Constitution is the solution to our country's problems. What do we need to do to restore our inalienable and enumerated rights? Class begins now.
Welcome to the Constitution Solution. I have my friend Elsa Kurt. Elsa, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for coming on right before your rushed Christmas. I know you're real busy and you're going to be flying out to see your grandbabies and all that. But, you know, you were on episode 29 way back when. And we did a lot of preliminaries, like, you know, name, rank, and serial number, right?
How many books you wrote.
You couldn't even remember how many books you wrote. It's like, man,
I
only wrote two in my life. And it's like, you know, I think it's a big deal that I wrote two. And when somebody says, hey, I don't know how many books I wrote, it's like, that means you wrote a lot.
it means you might have written a couple.
We're going to talk about a couple of them today, at least one of them today.
But
this is episode 38. If anybody gives a damn, why would anybody care what episode this is? But I use them because I
feel like
back
they
and
should
say,
care.
Well, you know, I can go back and say, hey, look at 29 for Elsa, if you want to listen to that one and as well as this one. So anyway, Elsa, you and I met, you know, of course, I reached out to you a while ago and loved your Kamala impersonations. it's just mind boggling that that's the best we had to offer. Wow. Of 30 million people, that's what we got. Okay.
Yeah.
And wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah, you summed that up perfectly. That's a head scratcher right there. Like, really?
How did that happen, right? And anyway, you did such a wonderful job with her. And and I've seen other people do it, by the way, but nobody comes close to you, in my opinion. So.
Oh, thank you.
But you.
I'll pay you after the show for that one.
It's going to be a double charge for that. Yeah, right. Before we get going on some of this stuff, give me your thoughts on the election, because I know you and I kind of talked and texted and everything back and forth. But how are you feeling about what went on? I know you're feeling good about it, but
yeah.
What's your sense now? What are you thinking?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, probably like everyone who's like-minded, we were ecstatic. I think the biggest feeling was relief. Like I think I was on a high for like 5 days, you know, just I couldn't stop smiling. I was just so relieved and happy. And now that that's kind of settled a bit, now you know, the euphoria, it's not that the euphoria is gone from it, but it's leveled off to a state of, okay, this is great. And this is the thing I think that everyone should be feeling right now, that we don't just sit back and kick our feet up and relax now. We need to hold them as accountable as they say they're going to be,
you know,
and that's our responsibility and that's our job. And you know, and that's what we need to do and not get so bowled over by the, you know, there seems to be a lot of starstruck. I love making up words here. That's another made up one, I think. But you know,
I like that
word. Right? Starstruckness. Yeah. We'll go with it. But I think that, you know, we just need to be paying very close attention and holding them accountable and you know, keeping them to their promises and to the expectations that they've led us to have for them. So overall, I'm very, very pleased. I'm very happy with the selections that he's made. I know there's been, you know, a couple fewer people have been less than thrilled. But, you know, my feeling on that, on the ones that people are like, terrible choice, bad idea. I don't think he's right for the job or she's right for the job. For those, I would say think we all agree we have a very different Trump than we had the last time, right? He's a different man. He's a lot,
Absolutely. Yes.
right? And I think what's going to happen here is if they don't do the job that he has installed them to do, they're out. They're gone. Like, do your job or get out. And that's what I want to hear. You know, that's what I want to happen. Like, do the job. If you can't do the job, we'll get somebody else who can. And, you know, so that's my hope that that's what he'll do, that, you know, you give him a chance or her to do the job. If you're not performing up to expectation, you're out. So, you know, put that pressure on them. And I think that's good for all of us.
Well, you know, I think you're right, and you know, President Trump, first of all, has no problem firing people. So
Clearly.
you know,
Yeah.
unlike his predecessor, Mr. Biden, there, I refuse to call him president, but you know, he didn't. I mean, there were so many calls for people to be axed in his administration, so many screw ups, and those people just stayed there, and it was absolutely criminal to a degree, you know, and. You know, you and I, and I've heard you and Clay talk on your podcast, which, by the way, if you guys don't see the Elsa Kurtz show, it's a phenomenal podcast with her and Clay Novak. Clay's a veteran, a combat veteran, and has a wealth of knowledge about a lot of things. And they make a really good tag team. And
Thank you.
so if you want to listen to another good podcast, of course, this is the best one ever, right,
Of
Elsa?
course, duh.
Because you're on it, because you're on it,
Yeah.
but no, it is I really enjoy listening to you guys. And but you know, one of the things, if and you talked about this on your podcast, and you and I talked about this, President Trump's been through so much, and he's so unbelievably resilient. I mean, from the Russian collusion hoax, and that's all that was a hoax, and people should have went to jail for that, including Hillary.
Yes.
To the two trumped up. Forgive the pun, impeachments, which were total BS, to the all the frivolous lawsuits, which are now coming to fruition that they had no basis in any merit, right? Legal merit, to the two assassination attempts, okay, to the attacks on his family, to the attacks on his wife, the Mar-a-Lago raid. I mean, go down the list of things that this guy had to put up
Yeah.
with, and
Tremendous list.
look what he did.
Yeah.
Virtually low, zero inflation, the best economy in our history, interest rates at 2.8%, okay, for mortgages, 2.7. Prices coming down, wages going up in all categories, all demographics, you know, taxes reduced. I mean, everything went the right way. And
Everything.
then on the foreign policy stage, what he did. I
Right.
mean, the whole Middle East Accord that he brokered, he should have won three Nobel Peace Prizes. So you look at
Yes.
all what this guy did, despite the confusion and the interference. Okay. So my view on this, and I think you might agree, is that I just look at this these appointments, and who the hell is anybody to tell him who his team should be?
Right.
I
Yeah,
mean, everybody can have their
absolutely.
yeah. You, everybody can have. I have my opinion on some of them. Okay,
Sure.
let the guy have his team.
Yeah.
Give him his team. Everybody, you know, and this is the other thing too, Elsa. Everybody tried to be his consultant. Trump shouldn't do this, and Trump, the guy,
Right.
his first political position that he won on his own was the presidency.
Yeah,
It
exactly.
wasn't a town council position or a board of ed or a
Right.
mayor or anything. It was the damn
President.
presidency,
Yeah.
okay? So who are we to consult with him and counsel him? He knows what he's
Right.
doing. Now,
Yeah.
he did make some mistakes, I agree with you, because he
Sure.
didn't know that who the swamp players were, like John Bolton and those guys. But
Right.
you said he's smarter now.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say his worst mistake back then was trusting people that should not have been trusted. You know,
Exactly,
the
exactly.
wolves in sheep clothing and the rhinos, you know, very specifically. Yeah, a very different Trump this time around. You know, ironically, I think he is it almost contrary in a way in his changes, in that he's much harder in certain ways and much gentler in other ways. You know, so we're seeing a much gentler the grandfather in him, the father in him. We're seeing these qualities in him that we didn't get to see the first time around, so we get to see the humanity of him. And I think that was a tremendous deal to do with that first assassination attempt. We see a very different man, but literally at the same exact time, we see that strength and resolve that you were talking about, that resiliency, that, we kind of thought we knew was there, people who are fans or followers or supporters of his. But boy, oh boy, did he prove it then. I mean, wow. That image I have, somebody actually did like a painting for me. I had it behind me before, and now I took it down because I was moving things around. But it's of the fight
Oh yeah.
image, and they did a
Yeah.
painting of it, and it's just so cool. But yeah, and I think the people he's surrounding himself with are top notch. And you're talking about people who are self-made millionaires. They can't be bought. They already have the money. They already have the power. They already have the influence. Nobody can buy them, and I think that's a really good thing. So
Exactly.
we'll see.
I saw an ignorant post on LinkedIn just the other day. And it had the net worth of all of his appointments. They're all multimillionaires or billionaires, as we know. Elon Musk is a billionaire. And it was a negative post by some guy in Europe saying, well, the United States now is going to be owned by these rich, tyrannical whatever. And my response to that post was this. Yeah, okay. All of these people learned. Demonstrated that they can create wealth. Why would we want anybody else running our economy?
Right.
Why
Yeah.
when Pete Buttigieg said, "I'm the only non-millionaire running for president," well, guess what? I don't want you running my. If you couldn't, as a politician, couldn't figure out how to be a millionaire, you're an idiot.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Okay,
absolutely. It's true. It's so true.
you know,
Yeah, we have a very different perspective on this than they do, and it's also all the more laughable because what do they think is running the country right now? You got paupers running the country? You think these people all are leaving office, quadruple
That's right.
in their wealth, and they shouldn't be. They
That's right.
should not be leaving office wealthier than they came in. So there's a lot there to be said, but look at Pelosi, look at Biden himself. You look at all these people who are multimillionaires, all made while they were in office, and it does not line up with their salaries, right? So it's like, wait,
On a government
stop.
salary, exactly right.
Yeah.
Someday you and I could talk more about the inner workings of how they do that, and especially in this bogus insider trading law that Obama passed in 2012,
Right.
where the penalty, by the way, is $200 for your first offense, and you don't have to
Wow.
disclose it. That's yeah, okay,
Such an
and so.
insult.
It's called stock, by the way, if you want to look it up. STOCK. Stop trading on congressional knowledge. STOCK. It's all BS. And the people awarding contracts to defense contractors can, in fact, own stock in defense contractors.
Yeah.
Okay. And guess what? I'm going to give you a $50 billion purchase order and I own your stock. Interesting. You know what's going to happen to that stock, right?
Right.
So,
I'm sure
anyway,
there's no correlation.
No, of course not. It's all independent. Yes, that's right. But anyway, I want successful people running my economy. I don't want somebody who
Same.
couldn't figure out for themselves. Okay. And well, let's get back now to a little bit about the Biden administration and how he just let not only the, illegal immigrants come in, but what happened to our crime. Okay. And the assault they had on police officers. How we let a police station burn, how we how Kamala or is it Kamala how she actually supported the Black Lives Matter and funding the defunding of the police up in Minneapolis. Okay. Which now she's of course said she didn't,
Of course.
but when you look at the Constitution, right, and you and I talk a lot about the Constitution.
Right.
The founding fathers knew that without the rule of law, we cannot have a country.
We cannot have a country. We cannot do commerce with each other.
Right.
I mean, all of this, right? And
So it's
so.
been proven over and over again, right? You know, anytime that you take any type of law enforcement protection away, you know, Seattle's a great example of that. You know, when they self-governed, you know, how did that turn out? An absolute mess. You know, you look at them taking away police, or not taking them away, but decreasing law enforcement presence in inner cities. Because remember, they all want to defund the police and they can do it themselves. They don't need the police. Well, you know, the obvious happened. Crime rates, you know, escalated to, you know, double and even triple the numbers that they were prior. You know, it gets proven over and over again. And yet every time they're like, no, this time we're going to do it right.
Yeah, well, that's a joke, and you know, and then telling the police to stand down too while people are being, you know, raped and murdered, you know, and people, you know, lighting public buildings on fire, you need to stand down. So, your husband is not only a Marine veteran, but he's also a law enforcement officer,
Yes, indeed, he is.
and
He
you.
is.
You are what we call a Leo. Did I get that right? What's the W?
Oh yeah.
LEOW.
LEOW, yeah, because we all love the acronyms for everything. Yeah, law, and all it is law enforcement officer wife. Yeah. So LEOW, yeah. Wifey, police
And
wife. Yeah,
you
you can
wrote a
go down the
book.
line.
Well, you wrote a book. By the way, the military, as you know, is filled with these three-letter acronyms. I call them TLAs.
Yeah.
I have a TLA for a TLA, and
I like that. That's good.
but your book, which came out a few years ago, 19 or 20, 2020, somewhere in that area, "Welcome to the Family: Life Beyond the Thin Blue Line." And one of the comments I read about it is, "It's a must-have survival guide for new Leo spouses." So tell us what it's like to be a Leo spouse.
Yeah, sure. It's great. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little history, a little background. So my husband and I had been together for almost 16 years. And when we first started dating, I had no experience in the law enforcement family world. So I'd never dated a police officer before. No one in my family was a police officer. I was raised pretty much the same way our generations were raised, that, you know, you respect police and that's kind of it. Like, end of the story. These are people that you look up to. That's who you go to when you're in trouble, you need help. You know, so I had a pretty traditional view of police, but that was the extent of it. So when I met my husband, we started dating. One of the first things that he said to me in our conversations was, when he told me what he did for a living, the first thing that he said was, "I'll understand if you know, that's a pass for you, basically." And I was genuinely baffled by the statement. I'm like, why? I think what you do is great. It's a noble profession. He's like, okay, well, you know, so well, we've got a good start here that you are on that side of things, that you believe that. But, you know, there's a lot of people who don't feel the same way. And when I tell you that I was pretty naive, I came from a small town, low crime, you know, all of the things. So I was truly in a bubble. You know, I can admit that fully.
I know where you came from.
You know exactly, you
But
know. Yeah. So this is no
we won't
surprise to
mention it.
you.
Yes, that's right.
We don't have to mention it, right? But
Right.
yeah, you know, back in those days, definitely lived inside a happy little bubble. So, you know, and he grew up inner city, you know, just very, very different backgrounds for us. And so that was really interesting to me. And, you know, I give so much credit to him for introducing me to law enforcement family life, in such a way that it prepared me for the negativities and all of the downsides and all of that, you know, which I was able to see very, very quickly, because it started almost immediately. You know, we became serious. you know, next level the relationship into a relationship. And, you know, when I would tell people I'm dating a police officer, the comments, the things that people would say actually shocked me, and which was good. It's, believe it or not, it's all a good thing. And this is kind of the stuff that I want to prepare people for, you know, spouses, girlfriends, whatever the case, family members, as they get involved in this lifestyle, that you are going to encounter people who have no problem saying terrible things to you. Anything that range from their you know, murders with a paycheck, or they get paid to murder innocent people, to they're serial cheaters, so get ready for a life of being cheated on, to they are all abusers, you know, they're gonna, you know, you're gonna end up with a black eye. Like, the things that people would say were like crazy to me. And I'm looking at him going, this guy's a sweetheart. Like, I know what he's capable of in his profession and his career, but in his personal life, in our personal life, he is like the dearest man you could ever meet, you know? So, which I think speaks for a lot more men and women in the profession than it does otherwise. You know, you're always, every profession has, you know, what everybody likes to call the bad apples. You know, that's the given. I mean,
that's right.
It's such a, you know, obvious statement, I feel like. But I really, I wrote the book because I wanted people to not only be prepared for the negatives, but to also be prepared for the positives. Because for me, there's so much more positive that comes with this life than negative. And you know, the negatives or the positives are worth the negatives, because you get so much out of it. And yeah, so it was kind of like a no holds barred kind of thing. And of course, I always say it's, you know, my perspective. You know, everybody has a little very different variation of the experience. But I wanted the positivity to come through more than anything. I didn't want it to be a deterrent. You know, because you hear that enough, you know, people tell you the minute you say you're dating a police officer, you're going to, you know, the first comments are going to be, you know, from women, it's going to be, oh, nice, you know, because women are just awful. Yeah, we love a man in uniform. So, you know, that's one of the positive ish comments that you'll get. But then that turns very quickly into, oh, you know, so it goes from, oh, to, oh. Because the reality is, you know, it's different than the little fantasy that people think that it is.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes I think the government throws ignorance into our drinking water, because there are a lot of ignorant people that say stupid things. Let me ask you this question. So you met your husband, you said, 16 years ago. Okay. And you started getting involved with being a partner and eventually a spouse of a law enforcement officer back then,
right?
A decade and a half ago. How has it changed now? Okay, like today, if you, what would somebody face to compare and contrast, like today versus when you met your husband? How different is it, and is it different?
And you know, and my husband pointed out at one point during this whole wave of everything that it's cyclical. You know, it really is. There are periods of time in our history where, you know, police are considered the enemy, and then they become the heroes, and then they're the enemy again. And, you know, during the course of our relationship, I've actually seen both. You know, during COVID, they became part of that whole, we love our first responders team, you know, and that changed very quickly. You know, so it's gone back and forth in our time frame. However, the majority of it, I'm sorry to say, has been the negative, you know, where it's been, you know, the hatred and contempt and disrespect for law enforcement has been the majority of my personal experience in this lifestyle. And it started very early on, when we were in our relationship. And one of the best things for me that came out of it was it showed me that I am a lot tougher than that sheltered little small town girl assumed she would have been. or anybody would have assumed I would have been, probably. Yeah, it taught me that I'm actually a pretty tough little bird. You know, and the more that people would come at me with the negativity and the hostility and come at him indirectly through me with that, the more fierce I actually became. And it was what actually brought me, I guess you could say, like out of my shell. And that was when I started to be, you know, a very vocal pro-police advocate through social media mostly. And yeah, and I did what us smart conservatives do. I armed myself to the teeth with facts and information so that anytime somebody would come at me with one of these, you know, fallacies, I was able to, you know, give that rebuttal to them with facts and statistics and data and just intellect over their emotions.
How dare
And
you? How dare you use facts?
you know,
Shame on you.
like the worst thing you could do to anybody, use facts against them. Yeah,
Well, you've got
and that's, you know, that's
good
something
for
that I
you.
talk about.
Good for
Go
you.
ahead.
Good for you. No,
Well,
I'm saying good for
thank
you.
you. Yeah, I think it's important, you know, because a lot of people, not just law enforcement spouses, people in general, you know, it's really hard to go against the grain. It's hard to go against the crowd, the masses, and you know, in this case, of course, you have politicians, social media, the media, all essentially against you, and you know, or at least seemingly against you, because those are the most vocal ones. You know, that's who you hear from the most. It's the rest of us, and I include my former self in that, you know, we didn't want to be bothered with anything. Like, just, you know, that's going on over there. Don't bring it over here. And if I don't comment on it, then I don't attract that attention on me. So a lot of people will just quietly support. You know, I would get so many messages in those earlier days from people on social media, because like I said, I was became very vocal. And I was fighting everybody and anybody, and you know, putting on my war paint and loving it, you know. And my poor husband, through that whole thing, he's like, "You don't have to do this. It's okay." I'm like, "It's not okay. It's not okay. They're not going to do this. They're not going to get away with it. Not on my watch," you know. So he unleashed a little psychopath, basically. A
You think, do you think
psychopath for
God,
good.
no, it's a good psychopath.
Yeah, good
Do you
psycho.
think God dropped him into your life for a reason? I mean, you know.
Oh, absolutely. 100 bajillion percent. Yes. You know, and I look back on my life, and he looks back on his life. The trajectory of everything, it's, you can't see it as any other way than basically God ordained or God directed. You know, and all these little things, you know, we have so many conversations now that, you know, it's so cool, isn't it? Great. I marriage is like the coolest thing. Having like a best friend for life is just the neatest thing you could ever have. And to be able to still, all these years in, and I'm sure you can attest because you've got more time in than I do,
It sounds
you
like a jail
still find
sentence.
out
You have more time in.
time in. I should have rephrased that, right? We're
No, I
going
got
with
it.
it though. We're gonna keep it.
I got it. I got it. That's good.
You know what I mean. But yeah, you know, and you still find out new things, which I think is really, really cool. And, you know, he was talking about a time period in his life that, as I related it to the same time frame in my life, we were had such opposite things going on, but there was this thread that is woven throughout all the 16 years, and even, of course, before we even met, that, you know, we thought we had no connections beforehand. And then we find these little threads that actually tie you together, and it's just wild, absolutely wild to me.
Well, you
Yeah.
know, you and I talked about last time, I think, how you know you've got so many talents, right?
Thank you.
And we talked to you and I think agreed that you know everything, all the talents and experiences that I have been given, the opportunities and the people I've met, including you. And you as well, in terms of your talents and experiences and people you've met, those are gifts that are on loan to us.
Right.
And did you ever consider that, you know, God's sitting there looking at you saying, Hey, I gave her these gifts, but I got to wake them up somehow. What am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'm going to introduce her to, and all of a sudden, boom, it opened up the door and look at you now, right? And so you had it all along, but maybe you needed the stimulus because maybe where you grew up maybe didn't apply that stimulus, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's funny that you say that because, many years ago, my husband said to me, something very similar. He says, who knew that this is the thing, the things that you would be doing and all of that. And he's like, you're a crusader. Like, you need a cause. And that is so true. Like, I need to, I'm a very purpose-driven person, and I need to, you give me a cause, you give me something to believe in, and I will to the death, defend and protect whatever that might be. And raising my children, of course, it's been my children and my grandchildren now, and my husband, if for as much of a protector and defender he is, it actually, for me, it makes me even more so one for him, because I know who he is at his heart. And I think I can speak for so many law enforcement officers out there and their spouses and partners and family members, where we know who they are. We know the heart behind what they do and why they do what they do. So for me and people like me, it's like the very least you can do is have their back, and not be afraid to very loudly have their back, and this is the only way, because silence has put us in the position that we're in now, and I think I started to say before, I used to get a lot of messages from people that would say things like, oh, I totally agree with you, I support, I'm so proud of you, and I'm proud of your husband, and we really respect what he does, but I don't want to get involved on anything on social media because, that people in my family or my friends or my coworkers will come at me, and I don't know how to deal with that. And I used to say to that, no problem, I understand, I'll take the heat, I'm fine with it, because the more I do it, the more I realize I'm so fine with it, does not faze me even a tiny bit. But now I've kind of gotten to the point where it's like, you know what, I love doing it, but you need to do it also, you need to speak up, you need to
Absolutely.
stand up, right? And and I think that's what's happening. I think so many people have come to that realization all on their own without me needing to tell anybody. They came to that realization
It's
to
starting to get
themselves.
better. Yeah. And I think a lot of it's getting better because of people like you, okay, and your podcast and you and Clay and speaking out. And when you and I did that one episode on the Constitution and the other one on the Declaration, I should say, we did both. What the founders had to go through to sign their name to that document was a death sentence. And all these woke people who criticized these guys as being old white men and slave owners, although they wanted to abolish slavery, they never would have signed. The people that I know that have those ignorant statements, never, never Elsa would have put their name on that document.
You're so right. You're so
Okay?
right.
Never. And your husband would have, you would have, I know you would have, and there's a certain Ted Nugent, I talked about this as well, that I asked him, I said, hey, would you have been the guy signing that document? He said, sign the document. I would have been at Concord shooting those damn redcoats.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would.
Oh
There's
yeah,
no question
Ted's
about
a
that.
patriot. Yeah, he's a patriot. But let me ask you, so, I always have tried to bring my kids up to respect law enforcement, the military. We used to dress them up in little army uniforms to go to Westover Air Force Base to see the guys coming back from Desert Storm, right? And they would salute and all that, and police too, right? And I think I told you the story. I was at a hockey game in Phoenix with my grandson. He turned 10. He's 15 now. And they had all the Star Wars characters running around the stadium out in the lobby and all that. And he says, hey, Poppy, can we get a picture with the Star Wars characters? I said, yeah, sure. But first we have to get a picture with those guys over there. And there's two police officers standing there. So I walked up to him and I said, hey guys, can we take a picture? And they were like surprised. It's like, whoa, really? I go, yeah. We're trying to teach them to respect the police. You know,
I love it.
and I let him know that these are the guys that matter. Okay. Not the guys on
Yes.
the ice. No disrespect to them, but not the guys on the
Right.
ice and not the Star Wars characters. These are the guys that really matter.
Yeah.
So that's how we try to bring, our kids and my grandkids up as well. I think I sent you my poem on what I thought a hero was, right? And to
Yeah.
me, my personal opinion is a hero is somebody who, and I'm going to ask you this question and you don't have to answer it.
Okay.
But when my definition of a hero is when your loved one leaves the home, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, is he or she coming back?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that something that goes through your mind, or do you kind of block it out? Everybody handles it differently, so that's a question I want to ask you.
Yeah, sure. So in those early days, when the relationship became very real, his comment to me that he made that first time he told me what he did for a living came back to me. And I understood it on a different level. You know, when he first said it, he meant it in a, hey, listen, a lot of people don't like cops. And if you're one of those people, I totally fine. We'll go our separate ways. No harm done. When you become invested, emotionally invested with somebody, that question came back and it was, you know, I understand if you don't want to be a part of this lifestyle, it's not for everybody. And in the new meaning of that became like now you have this impending sense of exactly what you just said, really, that you don't know what each day work. Most people leave for work in the morning and it's pretty predictable and it's pretty safe. And of course, there's always a chance that somebody doesn't come home. You know, accidents can happen. But, you know, you're talking about a profession where they choose to
Right.
be potentially in the line of fire or danger. It's a choice, you know, every day that they make. And to add to that, for the sake of people they don't even know, for the sake of people who hate them, you know, so you add now
Right.
you add these
Right.
layers, right? And this
Right.
new dimension to it. And I was struggling with it a little bit early on, that fear and that worry that, you know, I was, you know, checking in on them, you know, like everything okay, you know, or well, it's not that I heard sirens, but you know, you'd see something on the news because he was working in a different town.
Sure.
You know, which led to you know, another deeper conversation of like you can't live your life in fear. You can't stay in that mental headspace because it'll paralyze you. He said it would paralyze me. So I can't go to work with fear, being afraid. And you can't live your life, our life together in fear. And you know, and it took a little while. It took probably a long while. You know, I still, you know, he's got a great shift now, because he's part of the brass now. So you know, he's got a regular schedule. But when we first met, he worked midnights for a long time, many years. And you know, I still have that habit of sleeping with the phone on the pillow, you know, and all of those things. And it's just things that you do as a law enforcement spouse, you know, and I remember, you know, he would call, he'd be on, you know, working and he'd call and I'd be out with a group of friends or family, or whatever. And I would, you know, stop them like mid-sentence, not even with an apology, just answer the phone because you don't know what the phone call is. So yeah, it's very, very different. It's very different to live like that. And if you don't put it in a healthy mental headspace, you're gonna fall apart. You're just gonna fall apart. And you know, as you can imagine, that's where faith and trust in God come in, that you know, I'm gonna put all of my fears and worries and turn them into prayer. And that's it. So that is the extremely long-winded answer to your question. I turn every fear and worry, I turn it into prayer. Because and gratitude. You can't be afraid and grateful at the same time. You just can't do it. So
Great
that's the
answer.
way I handle it.
That's a great answer. And I hope people realize that being married to a first responder, police officer, fireman, the family serves too.
Yeah.
The family serves, and people sometimes don't get that, right? And all those things that you just said, and all the things you had to go through to cope, and you know, it's just it infuriates me when people say dumb things and yeah. don't think and don't even understand what the hell they're talking about. You know, I remember one time this happened right before Stephen died. He was in Afghanistan, of course, and before he got killed over there, it was about a month earlier. I was talking to him on the phone, you know, they had cell phone ability. And I was complaining to him about a relative who posted something really, a liberal relative, which, by the way, that's redundant. I have very few that are not, but we posted something really stupid on Facebook. You know what he said to me? He said, "Dad," he was 25 years old. Okay. He said, "Dad, let them say stupid things. That's why we fight."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
It's so true.
It's a selfless job that your husband's doing.
Yeah.
The people that will spit on him. Okay. But he still does it.
Right.
Thank God. Thank God we have people
yeah.
like that. He was a Marine. No, I'm sorry, take that back. He is a Marine because you're always
yeah,
a Marine.
I had to learn that correction
Yeah,
early
you're
on.
always a Marine. But, you know, I thank God for people like that. Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be able to step up and risk their lives for us and for our freedoms and for our way of life, which, you know, is a real big thing. Well,
yeah.
You know, and by the way, when Stephen died, for like 6 months, Elsa, I was paranoid. Like the phone rang, like, okay, who died now? Because this stuff doesn't happen to me, you know, it happens to somebody else, right?
Right.
And I finally did exactly what you said. I said, you know what? I'm gonna let God take care of me. I'm not
Yeah.
gonna worry about it anymore. I'm gonna put it on his shoulders. I asked him first. Yeah. And I think he said yes. And I said, you know, I'm not going to let this, I can't let this destroy me, because
Right.
then the Taliban wins twice, right?
Yeah.
And
Wow.
you know.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you before I embraced my faith, and truly just accepted the love of Jesus and all, everything that's wonderful that comes with that, I could not fathom how anybody could survive what you've experienced. You know, I can't, like, it still breaks my heart to even think about you going through that, your wife going through that, anyone going through that kind of loss. And I always would sit there and say, you know, when I hear things like that, how do they even, like, how do they get up in the morning? How do you even function? How do you do any of the things? And, you know, and then when you discover faith, then you understand. Then you get it. Then you
Right,
understand, like,
right. It's the
that
only
is
way.
how.
That's
That's
right.
the absolute
Yeah.
only way. And boy, oh boy, I tell you, if, you know, if I had a wish for anybody in the world, because there's so much suffering and there's so much hate and fear and worry and negativity, you know, so much of that and so much, well, all of it would be cured by faith, you know, just embracing that and
Absolutely.
accepting that love. It is so life-changing. I want that for everyone. You know, people get mad at you when you tell them that, you know, you want them to find Jesus, and, you know, and of course I can't, because I'm still childish, and I'll say, you need Jesus. You know? For some reason I have to affect some kind of Southern accent, a really bad one, obviously, but I mean it. It's like, oh my gosh, that's what you need. That's like literally what you need. It will change your life. It'll change your perspective. It just, the, you know, there's that peace that you find in that, right? And so that, you know, honestly, I could probably answer every question just by saying, you know, Jesus, that's how. It'd be a
Well,
boring interview, so I won't do that to you, but
if you want to use your Southern accent, you come down here to my new home in North Carolina. So,
oh.
Because we got that here, and so far so good, we really like it here. But you know, it's interesting because I don't know. I just look at your resilience. And you know, and you say, well, Mark, how did you put up with this? How do you get up every morning and all that? And sometimes it's hard to get up, but you know, the grief monster comes in once in a while and zaps you, you know. But then I kick his ass and I get him out of here. But you know, but the thing is though, one of the gifts that God gave me, he also gave you, and that's stubbornness. So, you know,
he gave a double dose.
Yeah. But I had to say, Jesus did screw up a little bit with Stephen. He made him a Yankee fan. Okay.
Oh.
Yep.
What was he thinking?
And so, you know, that's one thing that I still have to talk to Jesus about once I meet him up there somewhere.
Gotta reconcile that somehow,
yeah,
right?
Saying, hey, what's going on with the Yankee thing, man? Come on. You know that. I'm a Red Sox fan. But anyway, so speaking of which, okay, not the Red Sox. Coming out Christian. It's a kind of like a podcast.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, yeah. So, of course, as you know, as you were so kind to mention, you know, I have the Elsa Kurtz Show, which is basically a social political commentary. And then I have, of course, my social political comedy that I do, many hats. And then, you know, I had this conversation with God. And I said, you know, I'm so, so grateful. I'm so blessed and so fortunate. And I don't deserve it any more or less than anyone else. So there has to be, again, there's that purpose-driven life mentality that, you know, there just guide me to do your will, like to do what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm so blessed to have the platforms that I have. I don't understand the how or why. I think it's so crazy to me, across all of my platforms, if you added them all up, I'm close to 1 million followers across all these platforms.
Wow.
And I'm just this, like, it's so crazy. I'm just this 53-year-old married mom, grandma of three grandchildren. Like, why? Like, why are people paying attention to anything that I'm doing? I don't think I'm any better at it than anyone else. In fact, I don't think I'm even half as good as so many people out there doing similar things to what I'm doing. So why am I so blessed? And I don't know if I'll ever get the answer. So my attitude was, well, I just need to pour out all of my gratitude. And the only person I can think of to thank properly, of course, is God. So let me do that by sharing what I'm learning, sharing my faith journey with people. And, you know, I call myself a baby Christian. And so I'm just, you know, and that's what coming out Christian really is. It's just me sharing all of these. I'm like a kid with a new toy. Every time I open my Bible and every time I go to church, it's just this new present is unwrapped for me. And it's like, I can't believe I've been missing out on this my entire life. Like, this is so crazy, and I just want to learn and absorb everything, and then of course share what I'm learning. And so that's what that's all about. I get to, it's so crazy to me, like I said, I'm like a kid with this. I like, it's so crazy to me that I get this opportunity to share my faith and share my love of God and share God's love for all of us. And even if just like one person decides to open their heart because they watched my, you know, my video, oh my gosh, then I'm doing his work. I'm doing the work that he set
you
me
did
to
your
do.
Job. You did,
yeah.
Exactly right. By the way, I hate to break it to you, but I subscribe to your podcast 999,999 times. So it's only one. You only got one.
Darn it.
So.
Well, you know what? One is better than none. I'll take it. You'll be
See,
my.
That's a good attitude.
I'll take it, right?
That's a
I was
very
just
good.
As excited with, you know, 20 followers as I am with the, you know, whatever it is now. So it's just, oh my gosh. I figure I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, of course, people come out with their negativity. And, you know, and I find a lot of content out of that. I just make fun of it, and just, you know, it's amusing to me.
No, you're always going to get that. Hey, look, like I told my friend Paul Gosar, who is a congressman out of Arizona, one of the more conservative congressmen, the Cheneys were coming after him. They have a pack that they go after him, and the same goes for President Trump. When they're coming after you, you know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's so
Really,
true.
I
You're
mean,
right.
if you are not being effective with your message and with your beliefs, and we talked a little bit about in one of our episodes with you, the whole Marxist agenda, which a part of that is tearing down God, and
Right.
they want you to honor and pay homage to the government, not to any being. And the Constitution, as you and I talked about, my podcast is called The Constitution Solution, One Podcast Under God. And it was based on the foundation of Christian principles. And our country doesn't work without that faith that you talked about, So it's important to bring that back.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to get there, but we got a long way to go because it's been
Yeah.
destroyed. It's been really been destroyed a lot. But I just want to maybe end this with tell you a little bit of a story. A couple of weeks ago, I went to New York City for a it's called the Coolidge event. Calvin Coolidge is probably one of the most constitutional presidents we ever had, but really low key, and nobody really knows much about him. And there's a big foundation there, and every year I've been going to this thing with a billionaire friend of mine that invites me, and I got to sit right next to Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, and we had a really, really good conversation about, she got kind of personal about some stuff, we had a good conversation. But George Will spoke this time, okay, and I was always lukewarm about George, but he had a really, really good talk, and I'll summarize it this way because it ties into what you're saying. He said, "Our inalienable rights, the rights that come from God, and that yearning for you as a human spirit to, to be free, to raise your family, to flourish, to pursue your happiness, all those things, all those inalienable rights that the Declaration talks about, right, are inherent in your DNA. God put them into our DNA as human beings. And whenever you see a force trying to take those away, they may be successful in the short run, but not in the long run. Especially when our frame of government, the way we're structured, albeit it's being, our frame of government is being trampled on constantly." He said this last election was evidence of this wokeness and this stuff that tearing down our families. Because if you look at progressiveness, which basically means they have a disdain for the Constitution, and you look at liberalism in general, they only destroy things. They don't build things up, okay? And they'll destroy the police, the protection, they'll destroy the military, they'll destroy our economy, they'll, go down the list, right? And he said, you can only do that for so long because of this desire that we have to these inalienable rights that God put into us. It can only last for so long. And the only reason it doesn't last, if you have an absolutely tyrannical government that just basically kills you. Stalin did, like Lenin did, like Mao Zedong. I mean, go down the list of all the tyrants, Hitler. You don't agree, you're dead. Okay. And so now you're not around to have that desire to be free. So the bodies are littered. The world, the history is littered with bodies of people who did decide to remain silent. That's why I admire you so much in terms of what you're doing, because there's a lot of ramifications of you, both physically and also, professionally and everything else, of reaching out the way you do. And so I do admire that about you, and which is
Thank
why I
you.
initially wrote to you, so that's how we met. So
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words so much. Yeah. I always say to everybody, just pity my husband, the poor guy. I've given him all the gray hairs he has now. They are all due to me, not due to the job stress. I give him all this stress. Yeah, because he's a man who cares. And I tell him, the biggest thing I tell him is, for several years now, is don't read the comments, babe. Don't read the comments. Don't worry about it, because you're gonna want to fight people. You're gonna want to defend me. You're gonna want to you know, scare them off, all of the things. And, you know, all you need to know is I am profoundly unaffected. You know, I saw a great little thing, and this is kind of directed towards anyone who is fearful of other people's opinions, and whether they're people you know or strangers that you don't know on the internet. One of the greatest things I saw was that you know, somebody had asked, I said, well, how do you not be afraid? You know, how do you do that? As a fearful person, you know, how do I not be afraid? And the answer was, well, you pick five people in your life, and those are the only opinions that you care about. Like you, and they have to be five people who's, you know, of course, five people that you respect, that you admire, who you trust beyond measure, and who you know have your best interests truly at heart. And if they tell you that that dress looks ugly on you, it looks ugly on you. If they tell you that you're wrong, you're probably wrong. And if it's anybody else telling you those things, if they're not part of your five, then they don't matter. And that was such a perspective shift for me to say, wait a minute, you know what? That is so accurate. And I'll tell you the most obvious first two, of course, are God and my husband. And those are truly the first two people's opinions. Not that God is a person, but you know what I mean?
No, I do.
You know, those are the first two who, you know, if I read something or somebody says something to me and it gives me pause for thought, I'm like, well, you know, is what they're saying, you go down that list, is what they're saying true? Is it kind? Is it blah, blah, blah? You know, do all those things. But for me, it's really like, well, if it's not coming from these two sources, then there's a very high probability that this person does not have my best interest or truth or kindness, you know, at their heart, and they don't matter. So that would be, you know, again, long-winded advice I would give to anybody, like pick
nice
your
advice.
five,
Nice.
Right? Pick your five and stick with it.
I said to my wife the other day, I'm looking in the mirror and I said, you know, my hair's turning gray. I look a little overweight with this jacket on. Diane, tell me something that, tell me something positive. She says, your eyesight is perfect.
I knew that was going to be, I knew something funny was going to come.
You know, it's funny though.
I've
I was
already
at
told you I love your wife already. I haven't even met your wife and I
no,
already
no,
love
no.
her.
You'll meet her. Don't worry.
I can't
we'll be
wait.
coming up.
We're going to
By
have
the
a
way,
blast.
I was at Motor Vehicle the other day, right? And I got my new license, you know, and I was making these girls crack up. We had a lot of fun, but
Yeah.
She looks at my Arizona driver's license and it says hair brown. And she says, do you still want to keep it brown or what? And I said, are you saying my hair is gray? You are you colorblind or something? You know, and all the girls are cracking up, right? All right, put down gray, I said. Put down, I don't dye my hair. Put down gray, you know, and they're just laughing. It was really
That's
funny,
so
you
cute.
know, but, Elsa, this has been great. I'll let you. I know you're busy and you got a lot of things to do for Christmas. Let's catch up after the first of the year. And
I would love that. Thank you so much
yeah.
for having me on.
Oh no,
Appreciate it.
I love it, and we got to do more of this because there's so much more to talk about. And give my best to Clay and to your husband. And well, I
I
haven't
will.
met any of those guys yet, but and Merry Christmas. And
Same to you. Same to
yeah.
you. Absolutely. I look forward to chatting again and again. Thank you for having me on and let me run my mouth this whole time. I appreciate it.
You didn't run your mouth. You didn't run your mouth. And by the way, I can't believe God would ever say to you, he doesn't like your dress. Okay. So I don't see that
I
in his
know.
repertoire.
He maybe would say that's not appropriate, like young lady, not appropriate. Then that would be fine.
He would say that. Yeah.
He would say that.
Okay, Elsa, we're going to cut it off here, but this was episode 38. Go back to episode 29 and listen to Elsa's first appearance on our show. A lot of good stuff on that one, too. And we will definitely have you back again and talk more about the events as they transform and maybe get a little bit deeper into some of the things going on in the police force, the military, our politics, and maybe when Trump takes over and starts moving. And getting things done, because he is a guy that does that. We'll have a lot to talk about. So, okay. Episode 38. Constitution Solution. Elsa Kurt, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we hold that strict adherence to the Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems.
You can find other episodes on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other platforms. We're your hosts, Mark DeLuzio and Suzette Lawrence. Until next time, may God bless you and may God bless America.